from the trails, woods, and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network. It's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Another hour of outdoor talk and fun in the Great Lakes State being brought to you by our friends at Not Just Guns. Cedar Street 127 in Mason for all of your firearm needs. Whether you're looking for something to downstate, you know, the straight wall cartridge shooters that you can use now down here. They've got a full line of great firearms, in-home protection stuff, personal carry, whatever it is you're looking for, and they have ammo and lots of it for whatever you're looking for, Not Just Guns and notjustguns.com. Also want to thank our friends at Conquest Sense and United Deer Farmers of Michigan, helping us stay on the air yet another year, going into our 15th year of being on the air here on the Michigan Talk Network, and we're very happy to be doing that. Going to join outdoor writer Mike Natkowski, just back from the Aglow Conference, the conference that we just talked with Mark Sack about a little bit ago. A fun time had by a bunch of outdoor writers, and I've been kind of called out, Nat, that I need to join this thing, even though I'm not a writer. I am a media guy, and I think, you know, a few changes need to be made. I might need to join the ranks of you guys. How are you, sir?
Good. Yeah, I think it'd be worthwhile. I've hesitated for years, and the conference was in Michigan this year, so I took advantage of it. And it turns out that it's more than just a social organization. I attended some seminars that were enlightening, and so there's more value to it. And you can never put a price on the contact you make, you know, and what it can lead to. So it was a good outing. The fishing wasn't pure Michigan, but the weather certainly was.
Well, you know, we've been blessed with such a good year for weather in general, and we talked to a meteorologist friend of ours earlier in the show about the possibilities of a La Nina coming our way. Could see a little more cold, a little more snow. But we are talking in the here and now, and Nat, there are lots of good fishing opportunities. And not just, I mean, steelhead's going to be ramping up here, coho's going to be ramping up here soon, but what a lot of people overlook is like bass fishing, smallmouth bass fishing, when so many people are taking to the tree stands for October, there's still a lot of water opportunities out there.
Oh, absolutely. You know, fall fishing is great. The fish are kind of come out of their summer torpor after being in the warm water and things are cooling down. They're getting more aggressive and, you know, they're thinking about bulking up for the winter, so fall fishing is awesome. You know, I've always said Michigan would be a great state if we could get rid of January and February and get another September, October, or November in there, because it goes by way too quick, and there's too many things to do.
Right. That's true, too, because, I mean, look what we have in the fall. We've got small game season. We've got upland game birds. We've got the fall turkey, goose, ducks. Then you have all the fishing opportunities. You have the big game opportunities with bear and whitetail. How the hell do you cram that into, like, two good months of weather?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, already this month, you know, I've been goose hunting, and then I did the Aglow Conference, and then I did the early doe season this weekend, and I'm hoping to join my friend Scott Dobson on Lake St. Clair and fish smallmouths this week. And, yeah, you know, you got to make the most of it while you can.
Now, Lake St. Clair for smallmouth, we've talked about this quite a bit, has become like a mecca to a destination location, which back in the early days of the BASS and you know, the tournament trails and stuff like that, Michigan wasn't even a blip on the map.
Yeah, you know, and it's kind of strange, but we owe a lot of that to zebra mussels and gobies. That's what changed the fishery. I know people out west panic when they see my boat with a Michigan registration on it, and they think, oh, you're going to import them. But there's some lakes out there that would do good to have zebra mussels in them. But, you know, it all goes back to, you know, the water clearing up, more vegetation because in deeper water because of the the zebra mussels, and then the, you know, the gobies moving in and providing the food source for all those fish. So Lake St. Clair is typically in the top five in the BAS 100 when they talk about the best bass fishing in the country.
That just amazes me, because as a kid, it was always Alabama, it was Florida, Tennessee, Georgia, all those places were the big bass country. And now here we are, a trout, salmon, walleye state in the top five for bass.
Absolutely. You know, and a guy in the most recent MLF tournament there, I'm not sure what day it was, but he led the whole tournament with largemouth. So everybody's thinking Lake St. Clair and smallmouth, but there's some nice largemouth to be caught there, too, that kind of get ignored.
Well, that's funny, because I was thinking about that this morning. When did the smallmouth really make its play into the BASS, into those tournaments?
Well, they're having more tournaments in smallmouth locations like the St. Lawrence and Lake Erie and places like that. So the guy admitted that the guy that won the tournament this week admitted that he was shocked that he won a smallmouth tournament, basically, because he's a largemouth guy. But they're becoming more and more predominant. You know, Green Bay is a stronghold for smallmouth, and all the Great Lakes, you know, the smallmouth are doing really well. So it's kind of a natural thing to, you know, have those tournaments in those kind of locations that produce such fabulous fishing.
Mike Natkowski is our guest here on Wild Michigan. Nat, I want to go back to like the mid-60s when the alewives were the panic in the Great Lakes, that, you know, they were the invasive species, and all of a sudden they turn up to be, you know, thinning out, and it's like, oh, where have the alewives gone? You know, I guess we really shouldn't. I mean, look, I want to protect our freshwater against invasive species. I want to make that perfectly clear. But it seems in some cases they have been more help than harm.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, our Great Lakes salmon fishing would have never happened if it weren't for the alewives. But, you know, for years, like when I was doing it in the 70s and 80s, you know, things were on the way up. We had a couple of blips there where we had BKD or some other things happen. But for years and years and years, it was going up and up and up and just get better and better. And, you know, there had to be a point where the salmon, knocked down the alewife population. And, you know, now I think things are going to be up and down. But I think the DNR is erring on the side of safety in their management of the Great Lakes. People are complaining they're not planning anymore, but they're trying to prevent a total collapse. And I think they've done that. Fishing this year was much, much better, you know, the negative types that are poo-pooing the Great Lakes fishery, haven't heard from them much lately because the fishing's been so good.
Well, you know, you got a first timer on that caught a state record. You know, how bad can that be for the fishing industry?
Well, that's good. You know, accidents happen, but there was a lot of other big fish, you know, in the 30s caught, and a fair number of smaller fish, which bodes well for the future. And the coho fishery this year was really good. I went out a few times, and half our catch was cohos. And I don't like to eat salmon too much because I've eaten so many of them, but I kept one of those cohos, and it was fabulous. You know, it was just very, very good to eat and mild. And so the fact that we're catching a lot of cohos, and they're more aggressive in the river, so they're a little bit easier to catch than the kings most times, and they stay in, you know, better as far as eating on their spawning run. So things are pretty good. You know, if we get some steelhead this fall, it could be a banner year.
All right, Mike Natkowski is going to join us for another segment. Stick around. Going to come your way next here on the Michigan Talk Network with Wild Michigan.
You can join us on Facebook or listen to podcasts, all from our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Now, back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Cross the line at an hour to time. Interstate 94 more miles through the Great Lakes State. Turn it up so the bus ain't late. Another night in Michigan.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Very happy to have you here. And happy to be anywhere anymore, man. I want to get out. I want to start doing some things. Been on the road a lot lately. Going to be up in the Marquette area in the next couple of weeks. Up in Mackinac City for a week. First part of October. Gaylord. Also the Flint area. And some other places. So if you're listening and you have things that, you know, maybe we should talk about, get a hold of me. My number's on the website. My email's on the website. You can text me, call me, shoot me an email. Love to meet up with you in person and find out what's going on in your area so we can talk about it here on the show. I've got the time. So, I would love to sit down with some folks and find out what's going on and get a finger on the pulse of the rest of the state, man. This is what the show is about. Talking to our friend, outdoor writer Mike Natkowski here on the show right now. Nat, we are getting into that fall upland game bird time. And, you know, unless you live in the northern portions, you know, mid to northern portions of the state, it seems that grouse hunting gets very overlooked by those of us south of 57. And I know the western UP is fantastic for grouse hunting. And, of course, Michigan is a top destination for woodcock, too, if you really wanted to try that. But the grouse hunting, man, it seems so underrated down here.
Yeah, it's there's a lot of people that pursue them, but the numbers of hunters going after grouse specifically is going down. I mean, that's been noted. But grouse hunting in general in Michigan, I think, is improving because there's been a lot of cutting on state land, and that produces the kind of second growth aspen and oak that grouse thrive in. So the prime time for grouse may be here in the next, you know, years ahead. So people interested in trying it should check out some of these places that have been clear cut recently, you know, and woodcock use them before the grouse do it, really get into them. But having succession and forest succession is key to having grouse populations.
Now, I've been grouse hunting one time, and believe me, taking my old Auto 5 my Auto 512 was not the best gun to take out there with me. It's 9 pounds, and you're not going to swing that thing around very fast. What are you taking out there? Because, I mean, look, I know these things have the opportunity to jump up quick, stop your heart fast, and maneuver rather quickly.
Yeah, I've got a Ruger Over and Under Red Label that's a 20-gauge. It's got an English-style handle, which my friend talked me into. I'm glad he did, but it's a very quick-handling gun. It's easy to carry in one arm, so you can ward off the brush with the other arm, and it's just a quick-handling gun. But I shot a lot of grouse in college. I had a Winchester 1400 that my dad bought for me for $99 at Yankee Store, and I shot a lot of grouse with that. I killed 78 grouse during the 4 years I was in college over at Elma, but that habitat is not there anymore. So if you're looking for grouse, like you said, you got to go in northern Michigan, and if you can find the time to hit the UP, there's more prime grouse cover up there that you could hunt in a lifetime.
Yeah, I mean, I know that the new fresh ground cover is really something that they like, those ferns or whatever, you know, covering the ground. It's something that is, you know, good cover, and having a dog, believe me, helps. There were three of us that were out one day, and believe me, it was different. It was different than any kind of hunting I've ever done before in my life.
Yeah, I don't use a pointer or setter like a lot of grouse hunters do. I have a Labrador, and because he can do it all, I can hunt pheasants with him out west. He's great with waterfowl, and he does a pretty good job with the grouse, but the key is keeping the dog close with the grouse, because if he flushes them out of range, he's not doing you any good. But, you know, the key is to look for varying types of habitat. You mentioned ferns. Those are good because they provide overhead cover. And they always say you want to look for aspens, you know, wrist-thick aspens that you have to turn sideways to walk through. is what you're looking for when you're looking for prime cover. But early in the season like this, you'll find grouse out in some fairly open cover because they're out there eating grasshoppers is one of their favorite foods this time of year. And berries, like blackberries and raspberries and all that kind of thing. And so they're out in a little bit more open cover right now than you might expect.
Interesting. And see, you know, like I said, having not done, I really don't have a lot to talk about in that respect, but that's why we bring you on here. And what else, I mean, when it comes to the species itself, are they doing anything specifically to get ready, aside from, you know, foraging for the winter months?
Well, you know, you're going to have what they call the fall shuffle here shortly. Grouse that are still in their broods, they're going to start spreading out into new territories. And that's why you'll find them sometimes where it's not ideal grouse habitat, but the birds are trying to colonize, you know, new territories. So you might find grouse where you wouldn't think. And cover right now is not as important as food because there's lots of cover. The leaves are still on and everything. And then once the leaves start falling, you know, there's a week there where they're a little confused and it can be really good hunting then. But once the leaves fall, then they're more concerned about habitat and cover and than they are about food. They're, I mean, they're still going to key in on some certain food sources, but they're more concerned about hiding then.
Mike Nadkowski joining us here on Wild Michigan. Nat, they are fast and quick to jump up and scare the bejeebers out of you, from what I've noticed.
One thing people think they're so fast, they only fly about 22 miles an hour, but they do it right now, and they're usually in stuff that's so thick, you know, that you don't have much time. But I've had open shots at grouse sometimes, and you know, they're easy. I mean, because you get time to swing on them and everything. It's just that the stuff they're usually in and the fact that they're going fast right now makes it difficult. But they sure are challenging, and they are absolutely the best game bird to eat. I mean, they are wonderful. My mom would send me a check for spending money at college, and there'd be a note in there, you owe me 3 grouse. So they're wonderful on the table.
That's awesome. Mike Nadkowski joining us here on Wild Michigan, being brought to you by our friends at Conquest Sense. Nat, real quickly, just before we close out this segment of the show, I had a hen out in my backyard the other day, and, well, she seems to get a little confused by the fence. She was on the inside of the fence of the backyard and just for whatever reason couldn't find her way to that open gate, would run right by and everything else. So from the kitchen window, I'm doing the noise from my window.
Yeah.
Believe me, yeah, to have her respond to cluck and to yelp back at me, I mean, springtime was just, my wife's like, she sounds just like you do with the call. I'm like, well, that's kind of the whole point of what I'm doing here.
Yeah.
But it was really fun to have her respond. And if you're out in the woods hunting, fall turkey is open. So get that license and get out there, man. Do a little something else to do. But Nat, yeah, as always, man, thank you so much for your time today.
No problem. Anytime.
All right, Nat Outdoors, you can find him, a link on our website, wildmichiganradio.com, and we got more coming your way. Stick around. It's Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.